You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
As you head out to enjoy summer, you'll need to pack a few things. But your favorite news and talk fits on your phone already with the iHeartRadio app at 55KRC.com.
Yeah, it's 8:05, kind of 8:06 at 55KRC Talk Station. Beautiful morning out there and a very happy Wednesday to you. Made even happier. I'm always pleased to welcome to the 55KRC Morning Show to talk about matters relating to the city. Councilwoman Betsy Sunderman, happy Wednesday to you, Betsy. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be back.
And it's one. Look at this, bipartisan ideas on Cincinnati City Council. You and Chris Silbach see eye to eye on something. This is fantastic.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
I like the idea. I really do. And we're talking about this this proposal that she and Chris Silbach worked out to get rid of what they describe as the it's the pocket veto. Right?
Yep.
Well, tell my listeners what the story is currently, because there seems to be, and I'm really wildly curious to know if there's any opposition to what you've proposed. So let's talk about what you're proposing and the reasons for the proposal, Betsy.
So there's something called a pocket veto, and the city charter says that the mayor is in charge of putting things on the agenda for votes. So the mayor has to take a motion that I file and send it to the proper committee for discussion. And then after that, when the committee chair is finished with it, then they send it back to the mayor. And the mayor then has another opportunity to put it on the council agenda. We have city council today, so that's always on Wednesdays. And then we vote on something on a Wednesday. But there's nothing in the charter saying what is the time frame that they have to send it to the committee, or that they have to send it from the committee back to council for a full vote. So I've never seen this happen with Cranley, but I did see it happen with Mayor Mallory, where he would just kind of sit on something for a year and not put it in front of anyone because he didn't like it. So I don't know who our mayor will be next year, so I want to nip this in the bud so that no mayor next year can do this.
Okay. Makes perfect sense. Obviously, it's bipartisan. You on the R side, Chris Silbach on the D side. How about Mayor Cranley? Does he have a reaction to this proposal?
No, I mean, I haven't talked to him about it. I know he didn't leave it into the committee. I did contact his office and say, hey, can you skip the part where it has to go to council first and just put it straight into committee, because we're on kind of summer recess right now.
Yeah.
And we have a deadline to meet to get it on the ballot. So he did agree to put a bunch of budget items into the budget committee and skipping the first step where it goes on the council agenda, then to a committee. So he did do that, but he did not decide to put my charter amendment on quickly.
Okay.
But he has the right to do that. That's fine.
All right. Now, I just noted from the reporting in the Biz Journal Paula Boggs-Muthing, the former city solicitor, as well as John Cranley, have claimed that the pocket veto does not exist. Apparently, there's a 2015 opinion out there that Muthing wrote that the mayor must refer ordinances in a reasonable amount of time, but the period has never been defined and the concept never been tested in courts, which, okay, they're saying that he can't do that. You already know that it's happened before, so I can't see why there would be any opposition to, you know, clearing the air and definitively stating the time within which it must be referred over, or at least giving council the option to force it back.
And Cranley does do it, I think, in a reasonable amount of time. I've never seen him sit on something for weeks or months or a year, so this is not an attack on him. But I have seen Mayor Mallory do this, where at the end of his term, he just flooded the last meeting with all of the things he was sitting on. So I guess that was a reasonable amount of time to him. So, so we need to codify this. So my proposal is that there be a 2-meeting time limit between it going from the council agenda to a committee.
Yeah.
So two meetings. So in the summer, that could be 2 months.
Right.
But in general practice, it would just be a couple of weeks. And then once the committee's finished with it, then in three meetings, it has to get back on the council agenda.
Fair
so
enough.
I'm not making an unreasonable request that it has to be done in 3 days or something. I mean, it can still be five meetings apart, but we need to have some kind of rules.
Right. Now, there hasn't been a debate on this proposal yet, Betsy, or has there?
No, because it hasn't gotten to the committee
right.
yet.
Okay. That's just want to make sure. But you and Chris Seelbach were able to agree on it. How does that work? And I don't want to get into the weeds on this, but I know we have the open meetings ordinance. How is it that you and Chris Seelbach were able to come to some agreement on this proposal, which seems very reasonable?
So I wrote the entire thing. I worked with the law department. And after I had it completely finished, then I sat there and said, okay, who can I get from across the aisle to co-sign this with me so it doesn't look like a Republican thing? Because this really is a nonpartisan thing.
Sure.
And I know that Chris, years ago, tried to get this exact charter amendment on the ballot. So he was the obvious choice. So I called him. I said, hey, do you want to co-sponsor this? And, I mean, within 2 seconds, he said, yes.
Good.
So, okay. I mean, that was it.
All right.
So, no, we never sat down and had long discussions about it. I wrote it. I asked him to co-sponsor. He said, yes. Boom. Done.
All right. That's fair enough. And, again, I can't see how anybody could argue against it. It clarifies something that seems to me the solicitor's office has already sort of agreed that there isn't a pocket veto. But again, in practice, Betsy knows better. All right, let us talk about the St. Lawrence Bakery.
Oh, let me also say that the city solicitor works for the city manager,
yeah.
who works for the mayor. So when Mayor Mallory was the mayor, his city solicitor said that he wasn't doing anything wrong. So the city solicitor...
We all know what opinions
right.
are like, Betsy.
Yes, exactly. So whoever's the mayor is going to have a lot of influence on
yes.
what the city solicitor, how they interpret that. So anyway, go
not
ahead.
Shocking at all. Betsy, I know you wanted to at least talk about it briefly, but the St. Lawrence Bakery in East Price Hill closing yesterday. We got word that it was closed after 120 years. Obviously, a lot of Facebook posts, hearts broken. Oh, my God, I've been going there forever, and I drive across town to go there. It's a shame. It's a shame. And today, Brianna Rice from the Enquirer reporting on this. It sounds like this electric issue that they claimed was responsible for closing it was maybe just the straw that broke the camel's back. It sounds like the owners were pretty close to retirement anyway, and this may have been just what pushed them over.
Yeah, of course, everyone panicked. I mean, that's up the street from me, a few blocks away.
Yeah.
So, but right now, our CDC in East Price Hill is redoing a whole block on Warsaw Avenue, and we're going to have all these cool historic buildings now that we can either sell or rent for restaurants, bars, shops, whatever. So I thought that's the obvious location. So I contacted the CDC, our Community Development Corporation, and they said, oh, my God, we'd love to have St. Lawrence. So then I called the owners of St. Lawrence, and I'm sure their phones were blowing up. So I left a message, and I said, hey, we have a location for you. You can just move down the street three blocks. And then I got a nice message back from one of the owners, and he said, you know what? We were going to retire soon anyway. It just seems like a lot of work having to move. We're just not up for it. So...
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're probably retiring a year earlier than they wanted to, and it's probably not worth it to them moving just to be in operation for a year.
All right, and that's fine. That's a business decision. It's their life. It's their business. And I suppose if it was there is something to say about the name St. Lawrence Bakery,
exactly.
where it go up to it's the goodwill,
thinking,
right?
Yeah, as a lawyer, I'm thinking they should be out there selling
yeah.
the bakery.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. By the goodwill. Clearly, they built up a lot of goodwill over the years with their operation, St. Lawrence Bakery. Well, we're all sad to see them go, but certainly understand, given the circumstances, why they might decide to do that. Someone out there is probably making another phone call to the owners to suggest just that. Betsy, anything else going on that my listeners need to know about before we part company today?
I'm filing a fun motion today I think you'll like, but I'm not telling you what it is.
Oh, tease. You tease me. When are we going to find out?
I'll text it to you when I file it. I'm going to file it this afternoon. You'll love it.
All right. I'm looking forward to talking with you about it, Betsy. Betsy Sunderman, thank you so much for the time you spent with my listeners and me today, and for the very common sense motion that your proposal, rather, that you and Chris Seelbach are co-sponsoring. Yeah, let's just solidify that to resolve any outstanding potential questions. Betsy, thank you very much, and I look forward to having you on again real soon.
Okay, see you soon. Bye-bye.
8:15 right now, 55KRC.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.